6 paramita practices, and underneath there is 3 bodies, 3 layers, and then all the 3 udaranas are there. This time we can practice. In the last 6 months we don't have meditation hall in Auckland. We have no meditation hall during the June retreat, during July August retreat. And so we are enjoying our meditation hall. And the monastic in Auckland are happy. But then the sister in Auckland are also happy because they try to come and to help. So here, that meditation hall is a work, the fruit of many of monasteries, a lot of sweat, a lot of work, a lot of contribution of you as lay people. Even if you give a small amount, a big amount, you have contributed quite a lot for this coming of this meditation hall. And we look deep and we see all of you in this meditation hall. During the building of this meditation hall, we are building the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the practice of sharing, the practice of generosity, of supporting mutually. And so I think that at lunch time, the organizer of this meditation hall had to come up and to present themselves. And they would do it in a very difficult and who do what and how much depth we had and so on. With that meditation, this summer everybody can have a place indoor. I'm not sure. This winter retreat is almost full already. And this summer retreat is going to be very crowded. But we still have the veranda. And so it's not too bad. So maybe we hope that we don't have to make tent outside. The heating is not functioning yet, and that is why we use a very noisy. But normally, if the heating system is properly, it will be very silent. It's heating from the floor, like in Low Hamlet, and so it will cover about 2 meter high of warm. Upper part is not warm, but we don't need to be there. So here we, but it's not functioning yet. Maybe in 20 days, because it's down, but it needs an authority of that company to come to open that. So now we learn the Sutra, Muni Sutta. We have a translation of Salatissa monk. He is chairman of Mahabodhi Society in England, and he translated. And the translation have been in prose. The translation in prose have been used and published by a press called Cushion Press. We have the translation of Thai in Vietnamese, and this translation is very rich because I try to see many texts in Pali, in Sanskrit, in Chinese, and so I try to combine all the clauses of the truth of the original teaching of the Buddha. In the Nipata, there are a number of sutra, of texts, of the Muni texts. After that text, we will learn with many other texts, and we can compare with the original in Pali and we can see many other translations that are available to us in Chinese. There is a scholar of the previous centuries have found a few documents concerning that Nipata in Sanskrit. They found on the east, northeast of India. Northeast of India have a lot of teaching of the Buddha translated into Sanskrit. But the southwest is in Sri Lanka have more in Pali. Yeah. And so we compare the both and also from China too. Many teachers came to India and to learn. Some of them learn from Sanskrit, some can learn from directly from a number of monks after immigrating. The pushing of the Muslim of Buddhism out of India. Yeah, so this winter we try to learn a number of sutra. Parallelly with the text in China, in Chinese by Huen Jian and many other teachers too. This could be translated from Sanskrit of Sutta Nipata. Now we know right away that is also text in Sanskrit, not only Pali text. In the Tripitaka renew, published in China and in Japan, there is a number of sutra called complementary sutra, and they have the translation. They have the comparative text in Chinese. They call Dao Bing and Pham Attakam Bhanga Parayana and Arayana Bhanga. And when we compare, and we see it's very interesting, and we can learn, we learn a number of texts with the subject Muni. Muni is wonderful. And a number of texts in the Muni subject. Muni is not the name, it's not a proper name of one person. Muni means a serene monk. Muni means a serene monk. When I was a little novice, I learned that the Buddha is a Muni is Nangyang. Nangyang is a person who have a lot of ability. And Nangyang Tatma means a lot of serenity and ability. Tatma means serene, and Nang means a lot of ability. Shakya, when he was a novice, he learned that Buddha is a Nangyang Tatma. Nangyang means to have the ability to love, to understand. And Tatma means serene. That is a translation of Asakya. But Muni, have the meaning of Tatma means serenity, quietness. The calm one, the quiet one, the serene one. He is silent. He do not talk a lot. He is not noisy. Jagya is a person who has a lot of ability of loving and understanding, and who have a lot of serenity and quietness. Muni means quietness. Thadkamuni is means the monk, the serene monk who have many ability, who have the name Shakya. And sometimes we say that Munaya Udaya Ya. Ya is kind of expressing the noun. Noun, adjective, verb, so that is a noun. So Muni, if we learn in the literature of India, Muni appear already in the Vedantism Sutra already before the Buddha and during the time of the Buddha, there is already the word Muni. Muni in Vedantism is means a kind of holy person, a sage, a wise man who live alone in the forest. That is Muni, a wise man, a holy man, a holy monk who live alone in the forest. Mahaishi, Maha means great. Ishi, Muni, Mishi. So, great serenity, great. That is a word in Vedantism. And so, in the time of Upanishad, the Muni already appear. According to Hinduism, life of a person can divide into four periods. First one is your childhood, when you study in school, and the second part, then you marry, you have a family, and the third, you practice as a monastic, as a really spiritual teacher together with the community. And the fourth period is you go to the forest, you practice alone. And that is those who are called Brahmanas. After playing the role of a Brahman spiritual teacher, and then they serve people around, but after that they withdraw themselves into forest, and they are called the Muni, Brahman Muni. It means that they already have that in Hinduism, in Brahmanism. And it shows that somebody who have a real success, a great success already during their life. It's different from those who withdraw in the forest and are not enlightened yet. They withdraw in the forest by themselves and lock themselves in the forest. It's different. When they call Muni, it means somebody is really achieved something, but decide to stay alone in the forest. In Buddhism, Muni means a successful monastic. A more successful monastic who know how to live deeply in the present moment. A person who are really totally free from all the attachment of life, but still live deeply into their own life. So this is the person totally free of all the affliction, all the attachment, all the worldly need, but they feel free. So it's a true Muni, a true liberating and serene person. So Muni here is a serene, wonderful monastic. So I translate by the monk or nun, serene. We know that in the time of the Buddha, there are many schools early cure. And they mention about six schools. Six schools of philosophy, not the school of Buddha, but six schools of philosophy in India. They are very learned people, philosophical, and every school feel that they are the greatest and the deepest. And there's a lot of dispute, quarrelling, discussion about that, who is the best. And so in the sutras, in that a true Muni must be free of all this dispute. Don't think that your way is the best, because at that time in the society of India there is six big schools of philosophy who are disputing about who is the best and arguing quite a lot. So now the Buddha said that you don't need any argue, you just realize what you realize, you let go on the system of philosophy. You are totally free from all these school of philosophy. You are in touch with the wonderful reality of great peace, great light, great love in you. So you reach a kind of domain we call outside of the domain, outside of the our human worldly world, but we are outside of that world. It means, but you continue to stay in this world, but you are outside of all these quarreling, disputing, arguing, and conceiving and perceiving, etc. You are outside of that world. Full life, full independence is kind of outside of the world, of usual world, but you are still in that, but you are free of all that. So there is the text of the visit of Vasubandhu is a great teacher of Buddhism in the 2nd century after Christ. And so he proposed 30 gathas about Buddhist psychology. And so there is Thutuk Bodang Jai, Taiwan translate, this Sino-Vietnamese. This is Sino-Vietnamese. I wait until they don't sleep. This four line of a short poem in Buddhism we call Gyatha. It's the last Gyatha of the 30 Gyathas of Buddhist psychology. Muni is Mahamuni. In that, it's a big, great Muni. That is the teaching of that great Muni. Following Jai means the first sentence. Following is countless. Jai, I don't know. Yolo, countless domain. It means you arrive to the state that you are outside of all these worldly domain. You are quarreling, comparing, discriminating. You are outside. And then the second sentence is that domain is unthinkable. You cannot say anything about that. You just state, you do not discuss, you do not perceive, you do not express in word or in speeches. That is, you have to taste by yourself. You have to realize by yourself. Thing is, you cannot discuss, you cannot think, unthinkable, you cannot think about, it's beyond your thinking. with younger thinking, it means you need to taste, to realize, but you cannot discuss, you cannot think. That is the teaching of the great Muni. Unthinkable, impossible to perceive, to think, to discriminate, to express into words. That is the great Muni, a great monk who has no theory, no intellectual arguing. But it seems that the disciple of that Muni is a lot of theory. They also debate a lot, and they quarreling a lot. A lot of saliva have been used for that quarreling. To use a Dhamma sharing better than Dhamma discussion. Discussion is you argue to each other. You better say, use the word Dhamma sharing. Better.
Sutta Nipata.
Is a sutra among those who are very original, very ancient texts, have been kept under the form of poetry. Sometimes when you do it in verses, you can, because of rhyme, and so you remember easier. And also it is easy to remember. But the sutra in prose is difficult. Sometimes you remember it, but you miss one sentence. But in verses, in poetry, you cannot, because it must be every text, every poem is four lines, and you cannot miss one. And it must rhyme together. And that is why all the teaching of the Buddha, all the patriarch, the teacher, student of the Buddha, always try to put in prose, and then they put into verses in poetry, so that in remember. So they said that then after explaining like that, the Buddha decided to summarize all his teach by these things. So in fact, it is start by poetry and by verses, but then the prose exists later, according to the scholar studies of Thai, and many teachers say, is the prose exists later in order to interpret the teaching in gatha, in verses. So the searcher, the scholar about that Sutta Nipata, they conclude that is very old style. It's proof that sutra has been given by the Buddha the first year of his enlightenment. Before that, there is no monastery. No monastery in bamboo forest, and they are still going around. They are, you know, bamboo forest monastery, At the sutra, at the first year, the Buddha was a wandering monk. He stayed here a few days or 1 week, and then he go to another place a few weeks, and then he go to other place for a month, and he go to other place for a month. He never had any monastery at that moment. And at that moment, the king Bimbisara of Magadha have decided to offer him the first piece of land, and he had
there is a monastery there, but monastery but mean a piece of land where all the monks stay under the tree. But then after that, when they went to Kosala, the next big country after Magadha, the king Pasidani Dina offer him a real monastery, a piece of land, a very beautiful Shetagrove garden, and then after that they make the first monastery in Kosala, not in Magadha. And slowly they also make in Magadha too. So the second part is they stay in monastery. The first monk, wandering monk, no monastery. The second part is when they live in monastery. And the third part is they become a kind of religion, and they serve morality of the country. And then the fourth one, they become Trinki. Trinki means Trinki is a sick. I mean, tantrism is a lot of secret. You practice a kind of mantra and dharani, mystic, yeah, mystic. The fourth period is mystic. In my book, All Path by Cloud, I make the explain clearly. I try to overcome the Buddhism of tantrism. Tantrism means a lot of mantra, magical formula. I try to put aside all these magical formula. I try to rediscover the Buddha like a human being like you, like me. We transgress. We overcome. We go beyond a Buddha of legend. A Buddha. We try to rediscover the Buddha of this period of time, of 21st century. And we go back to Suttanipata. You rediscover that same thing that I'm trying to do in the All-Pathwide Club. We see the Buddha at that time is very simple, like all of us. So Suttanipata is a sutra, is very precious because it's the first year of teaching of the Buddha, and the Buddha seems very ordinary people, very wonderful person, but like you, like me, but more profound, more understanding, more loving. That's all. And then, so we learn like the discourse on love, the discourse on happiness. All these discourses very old, but I put them in the chanting book of Pilgrimage because it's very old, but very close to us. Because a period of development is developed by that, and finally the last state is very magical, a lot of magical power. You use magical power a lot. And here I try to rediscover the Buddha, go back to the original version. It's very simple, very alive, but more profound, more great, more understanding, and no more deeper. So you have the chance to compare this sutra with, so you compare the sutra in the Pali session with the Sanskrit session, and we know that Tang Hoi is who came from Vietnam, but at that moment China consider Vietnam like one province of China. And so it was written in the Chinese Buddhist text that there is a monk from a province, south province of China, Zhaoji is the name of Vietnam in the past, to come. That monk went to the Donggo, one of the three kingdoms of China, and Donggo, where he tried to share Buddhism. At that moment there were no monastics. He's the only one to come, and he set up his first hut to stay there, and then China slowly he persuaded the king to accept Buddhism, and the king built the first temple of Buddhism in China, is in Nanjing nowadays. But at that moment is the temple have the name First Temple of China, Gengshe Chua, Gengshe. So Tan Hoi had the support of the king to have the first temple of China. And on these witnesses, on the document that we have in the Lukno Takin, in the text to the Takin, I took one of the yata in that a number of compilation of document done by one scholar in the time of Tang Hoi, the 3rd century, first part of the 3rd century. And so I took one yata in that we put here. You can learn that during the winter retreat. And we have the text in Pali to compare. A fake Muni too. And so the Buddha have been asked, Gautama, can you tell me what means a true Muni and a non-true Muni? And that is the reason for this sutra, the existence of this sutra. Wherever still, attachment, and then you still can have love, fear, excuse me. Wherever there is still attachment, there is still fear. The first condition is no attachment on sex. If you still have attachment on sex, you are not a real monastic. Very clear. Sexual desire bring you to fear, and then having fear as a lay person, to be a lay person is not easy. To be a lay person is not easy to keep that purity, because you are a lay person, so you still have that sensual desire, and then sensual desire sometimes is not appropriate, but you still have. And so to be a monastic is the safest, because you already shut the door about that, and then you are safe. But why a lay person, you say, I'm still have the right to have sexual desire. But sometimes it's not appropriate at all. It's not with your wife or your partner, but with other person. And so it's for a monastic, it's safer to be monastic, because no sensual desire, you try to transform right away. Of course, you have that sensual desire because as human beings, you have this body, but when you notice that, you try to transform right away. So among the precept of the person, you have the precept about not killing. But when you become a monastic, you have also the precept not killing. But when you become a real big ordained person, the first precept is no sensual desire, no intimacy of sexuality. So for monastic, the big ordain, after the big ordination, the first precept is not killing like as a novice or like a lay person, but is the first one is no sexual relation. Is make it clear that is the first condition to be really stopped. That. And in reality, that is not the practice only with the monastic. You know, as a layperson, it's more difficult because with the monastic, you already cut the door, shut the door about that. And as soon as you have something about sexual desire, you say, that is my mom, that is my dad. I decide to go different life than my mom and my dad. So you change right away the path. But because you are a lay person, you say, well, I can have that. But suddenly it happened that you like somebody, you want to have sexual desire, but somebody is not your partner at all. And then, because the door is still open, and you have more risk as a lay person. So in the monastic, in the monastic training, you have also, so in the Touching the Earth book of Thai written, there is one chapter about the dialogue with the Buddha about sexuality. And so in the past, as I have no... In the past, I did not know how to manage the sexual energy in myself. This has caused me to make regrettable mistake. I know that the human species is an animal species, and that sexual energy is naturally present in all of us, including me as monastic. In the past, because I did not know the spiritual practice, I allowed the seeds of sexuality in me to be watered so too much. Sometimes sexual energy arising in me has made me unstable. I may have read magazine or book, etc. So because we don't know that, so we read book, we look at internet, we look at many things as water that sit up sexual energy in us. So to be a monastic, the practice is easy because you already close the door about sexuality. And so you are not, and especially you stay in the monastery, you are not on the seat of sexuality, are not water in me. How I go in the market already, a lot of watering of sexuality. But here in the monastery, I feel more safe. Sometimes sexual energy arising in me have made me unstable. I may have read magazine or book or look at film full of image that excite sexual energy. I know that some people make themselves rich by selling sex, not only in the form of selling bodies, but in the form of selling sound and image. And all the image that call up sexual desire are everywhere, in books, in magazines, internet, television, movies, advertisement, videotape, and on the internet. Young people particularly are the victim of this kind of marketing. they sail on these things like trumpet. The seat of sexual energy in them are watering many times every day. The number of young men and women, often from the age of 13, who are pulled into the net of unhealthy sexual activities is alarming. This is a true catastrophe when young people know sex but do not know how to love. Sexual energy and love is quite different. And so they have empty sex but not true love. And so when you are pulled away by empty sex, and then it's a pity, it's a catastrophe for young people. When young people who have practiced empty sex grow up, they never have a chance to know the joy of the true love. The habit of The habit of masturbation leads to similar results. It dries up the source of wholesome energy of body and mind. I have been taught about the oneness of body and mind, and then what happened to my body will happen to my mind. And so I try to keep my mind very clear, very pure, in order to avoid masturbation, because masturbation, it involves my mind and it leads to my act. So I try not to listen and to speak about sexual things. I do not use my internet in order to be in touch with all these attractive things who water the sexual energy in me. And I vow to look after my body and my mind and not allow the seed of sexual energy to be watered in myself and not to fall into the habit of masturbation. I vow that from now I shall not read book or magazine or look at film that excites sexual energy. I shall not listen to or to tell story with sexual overtone. I shall not use a telephone or computer to find sound and image which arouse sexual energy. I also vow to lend my energy to action that makes people aware of the harm done by the artificial arousing of sexual energy. I vow to do everything that I can do to create a healthy environment at all levels of society, especially for the younger generation. Lord Buddha, I ask you to guide me with the light of understanding and compassion in this world. And I don't want that suffering transmit from generation to generation. If we do not practice correctly on the domain of perception and feeling, these seeds will be watered every day, and then it will damage and make my body and my mind not in peace at all. And so I have to be very aware of my feeling. And that can lead to a kind of accident like AIDS, can kill a lot, million of lives. And homosex too. Oh, there is a lot of homosex and heterosex who died because of the transmitting of disease come from sexual act. And among us, if we are not, I'm not. Lord Buddha obscured by ignorance during the lifetime and lifetime before, we have not able to see the energy of sexual energy. If is not recognized and properly managed, it will destroy the family, society, and body and mind of individual. In our ignorance, we have not able to protect our body and mind from unhealthy sex because we have to create a wholesome culture and social environment. With our intention, we have acted in opposition of the third mindfulness training. We see clearly a lot of suffering in family, in society, and the killing of millions of people because of AIDS, because of sexual transmission, the transmission of disease by sexual act, and then it kills a lot of people. If you are still have that life of lay people, you still have that occasion to water, that's it, and it's more difficult to go out than to be a monastic. So the training is to be a true muni, is mean free of all these attachment on sexual energy, so that you will be happier. The second gathas, the seed of sexuality have been born and who have been already transformed will not create the turbulence in you, will not create the kind of watering of difficulty in you. We are already a monastic. We already make clear that we will not have sexual energy, sexual intercourse. And so when the sexual energy arises, because we are human beings, we have the body, and the body have that function to do it. And when it arises, we recognize it. And then we say that the door is closed. Now I change by watering more seed of other wonderful thing instead of seed of sexuality, and so you achieve serenity easier. So your serenity, your peace will be protected. So when you keep the serenity, you keep the precept, you keep the training, is to protect yourself. Because if you protect yourself, and you have more peace. Because you don't care about reciting the precept, you don't care about praying, I'm adult already, I don't need. But if you do like that, and then you let many chance for this seed to be watered, and one day it may arrive that you commit violation of these precepts. So keeping the precept and reciting the precept is very important. The third gatha. The ground have been observed not to let any sexual seed to be in the ground, or if there are, we try to transform them as soon as we could. So the ground have been observed. We already are determined to letting go on the bad seed and do not give the good favorable condition to this sexual seed to be grown. The Muni, the great peace, to already letting go on the non-necessary dispute. So check ước here is mean the humidity. I mean when you have a seed, you need humidity, warm humidity, for the seed to be sprout. So here it said that all the bad seed have been thrown away, and do not keep the humid in favorable condition for that negative seed to be sprout. So we have to letting go the laptop, the cell phone. Is that is the that appropriate condition? Appropriate condition to be water, means we do not provide the humidity for this seat. Humidity for this seat nowadays is laptop, in order to reach the internet or cell phone or private email, where we can so we have to practice together. We would not use laptop or computer for non-necessary things. If the Sangha asks you to do that, you just do that, not other things. And so having observed the ground, the earth of this area, we are determined to throw away on the bad seed and do not create favorable condition for this seed to be grow. And the great Muni, the great free person, have already released on the non-necessary arguing. There's here it means a true Muni would not need to dispute. We don't need to dispute, discuss about ideology, about a system of thought. You are really silent. You are really silent. You uproot all the need, even the normal small need. We trust to be in touch with what is wonderful. Learning in Buddhism means also acting. How if you open the dictionary, will be learned. But here it means also act. Training in our monastic book, monastic code book, we said that the three learning of six samana, these six is for practicing, not only learn. And that is the meaning of Muni. The meaning. Try not to argue, not to dispute, not to discuss. So six school of philosophy, two is about materialism, and four other school is about spiritual only. And so the Muni is really free of these six school, two material as well as four mentally. Mentally school, mental school. So we let go on these non-necessary arguing. You already achieve the no birth, no death, and nobody can argue with you, can persuade you. Motion which means no birth. No birth, I mean you transcend the notion of birth and death. And too long, it means that you still think, you will speculate. You recognize, you nominate that a true Muni don't need that. They let go on the arguing, on the nominating, on the speculating, anything. They just let go and taste the reality. They overcome all this, this norm, this mold of your mind. That means in your mind you always have some norm, some perception about something. A Muni must be totally free of all these norm, all this speculation, this form of arguing. If you say that no birth, and if you have a norm of no birth, you know, no birth is opposite to no death. No, here is really beyond of birth or death, beyond the notion of birth and death. In the Sanskrit, there is a word, anuttala. We cannot give them any norm, any nomination. You cannot say that is a religious person or a spiritual teacher or something. You transcend all these norms. You transcend all these concrete classification. You cannot call him a spiritual teacher, no. You cannot call him a philosopher, no. And they are somebody, a religious person, no. Everything is no. You transcend all this notion. You cannot have any notion about that person. And Muni is a person who transcends all this. You don't need to go to any. You do not go to any path, because there's six paths: path of animal, path of Asura, path of human, path of gods. So they don't have any desire to go to any path. These Muni have known and know on these six paths and do not have any desire to go to any path. Tien, it means gods, Achula, humans, animals, hungry ghosts, and then hell. They know everything, but they don't need to go to any path. They see everything, they know everything, but they don't have any desire to go to any of these paths. They already cease on this craving, on this attachment, loving attachment, and they do not have any attachment to any desire, any pulling to go to anything. They are already in the other shore, the shore of liberation, the shore of totally free. Apranihita. Apranihita, apranihita is you do not follow anything. You achieve the aimlessness. Aim, it means try to aim at something. But aimlessness is you arrive to the aimlessness. You do not aim at anything, including to aim to become a Buddha. You do not need to aim at anything. You arrive at the state called aimlessness. Bongwen, or sometimes people say that Bothai or Bongwen in Vietnamese, aimlessness. In this fourth gatha, you can see very clear the teaching of aimlessness, no achievement. You don't need to achieve anything. You are already what you are. what you want to achieve, so you have no achievement. You are already what you wish to achieve. Now the fifth yata, that person have transcend everything, have understand thoroughly everything, have the great insight, and have no attachment to anything. And they have left behind all the craving, and they achieve total liberation, total freedom, because they have already have done extinction of all these craving. And this person is a real wise person, a Muni. Number six, Satyata, number six, this person have the strength of insight, the strength of deep vision. They are born from the training. They are not born from the sky, but they are born from the training. It means you are also can be that person. If you train very well, you are born from the training and from the action in the beauty, like accordingly to the training. And they like the serenity. They like to enjoy the joy of practice. And they keep day and night in mindfulness, and they are not pulled away by any negative habit. And then they are a real wise person, and we can call that wise person a Muni. These persons are born from precept or training. Yeah, they are born from precept, it means born from training. Without the training of mindfulness, you cannot transform into such a wonderful free person. Because you train yourself for a while, and slowly, you are in the reality of peace, of understanding, and of incorrectness, that you need the training. So, thanks to the training, you are born into a Muni. So you practice mindfulness day and night, and slowly the training is very deep, and so you are born into a free person. You are born into a Muni. And especially in the training, you are trained not to do, but you must do something. So this action born from the training will give you to become that Muni. And you also like, appreciate the solid, the living deeply in the present moment. You enjoy the joy of meditation, and then you keep your mindfulness day and night, and you are not pushed by the negative habit. So the number seven, that person walk alone. Walk alone doesn't mean that you walk alone without the second body, but you walk in the way that your body and your mind are deeply dwell in the present moment. That means go alone. That person walk alone. Pinkang means very diligent, very, very awake, very diligent, very awake, and they are not touched by the appreciation or by the condemnation, judging. They are not affected by judgment or by appreciation. They are free. Somebody appreciate, well, they don't need to be very excited for the appreciation. Somebody insult them, they don't feel insulted at all. If they see that they are practiced correctly, but somebody insult them, it's okay. It doesn't touch them. And they are like a lion. Is not afraid of any sound, of any threat of any animal in the forest. They are like a gentle breeze. the gentle breeze cannot be stopped by any net. When the lion shout, all the other animals have to shut down and to be afraid. So that person is like a lion. He's not afraid of any sound, any screaming of other animals. But that person is like a soft, gentle breeze, and it cannot stop any net. The net can stop the bird, the animal, but the net cannot stop the breeze. So that person is like a breeze, so fresh, and cannot stop by any net. And that very, very clear, pure, like a clear stream of water. And they are pure like a lotus, and you can, that person can guide people in the good path without being pulled by other things. Go alone, walk alone, not totally free, not attached by anything. That person is totally free. Number 8. They are solid. This person, Moni, is solid like a pillar on the beach and cannot be shaken by anyone, cannot be pulled away by any passion. And these six organs and six bays of the organs are very serene. And they are not pulled away by all these things. And so they can keep that. They are not carried away by all these things. And they are really serene. Number 9. Tâm vững chãi, solidity, solid in our mind. Đoàn chính như một con thoi, very regular, very correct, like weaving, and despise or do not follow on these the low class action, and can distinguish which is the best one, the correct one, and the non correct one. Gata number 10. Know how to master and do not be carried away by the unwholesome act. The Muni know, even that monastic, even with their young age, they know how to live enough, but bastante, it means enough, you know what is, not too much, and then know the knowing what enough, and cannot be challenged, persuaded by anyone, and they could not try to persuade or challenge others. 11. Tiếp nhận, they receive the gift offering by people. Even the gift offer is good or bad, they accept with beauty equally. Even the food of offering is good or the food of offering is bad, you will not say that, oh, you give me only the bad part of the food. You do not, you accept equally. You do not complain that this, my part is better or less good than the other part. And naturally, do not appreciate, but do not despise. Number 12, you keep the purity of your practice, even you are young age, but you are not caught by any attachment. you are not so proud of yourself, you are not so, you cannot be carried away by anything, you are free. Even with the young age, you are still not very proud and to be very free. Yeah. We remember the day when the Buddha go back to his kingdom. There is so many young people who want to become monastic, and they see the Buddha like that, and they want to be like him, because at that time he was also young. He's only 35 years old. So many young people want to become monastic like him. And the society of India at that moment, the monastic are only those who are old, who already achieve a good family and more than 40 years old, and then they can become monastic. But here is a new image of monastic and impress a lot of people. So the 13th gatha, see the true nature of the world, the true nature of life, of the worldly life. And then they achieve the first absolute truth. It means they can achieve the first absolute truth. It means no birth, no death, no coming, no going. They overcome the stream of birth and death, and they achieve the no birth, deathness. Yeah. They achieve the state of no birth, no death, and then they stop all this attachment, so on. The 14th, the lay people are caught with husband, wife, children, and then they have to take care, and then they have no time to take care or protect life of all the species on earth. They have not much time to take care of other things and their family. They know. They have difficulty to moderate their desire and to know enough what is enough. The lay people can do it, much more difficult than a monastic, because you are a lay person, you have a life of husband and wife, and you have to take care of that. Even you are not married yet, but your family still demand you. You have to do that for me, I have my family, you have to do it for mom, so on. So you are a monastic, you are free of these things, and it's easier than to be a lay person. Because every day, a lay person, you have water, the seat of sexual energy, of consumption, of craving, is directly or indirectly you are receiving that every day. But to be a monastic, first you are vegetarian, 100%. And you reduce a lot of suffering from other species on earth. And then also we can control the system of global warming. So And a lay person, you don't know how to reduce the consumption. You cannot reduce a number of things. That is more difficult than to be a monastic. In Vietnam, we have the impression that is the easiest is to practice as a monk or nun. But the less good is to practice in the market. But the most difficult is to practice with your family. The 15, like a peacock, who have a beautiful tail, and when they fly on the sky, we cannot compare with a crane, a swan, some beautiful heaven swan who fly freely, relaxingly, beautifully. Even you are a peacock with a beautiful tail, but it's not be compared with the swan who fly relaxedly on the sky. And the layperson still caught with many worldly attachment and requirement, and so you cannot be compared with the life of a monastic who sit relaxingly in concentration alone on the mountain. And the Sutta Nipatthana is a sutra where a monastic asks the Buddha, what is the true life of a monastic and a true life of a lay person. Next week we will learn that sutra. This sutra is only about how we can practice as a monastic. But next week you will learn a sutra about a lay person and a monastic.